roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Thursday. Happy to be with you for the next hour. I'm going to roll through this intro. Just to tell you real quick, our guest will be Graham Boylan. He's joining us in about 30 seconds. He is the president of Cage Warriors. Cage Warriors 126 is on Sunday in San Diego, Humphreys by the Bay. Great concert venue, but they're having MMA fights, and that may be a permanent home. We'll talk to him about it right now. However, it's sold out, but you can watch it on the UFC Fight Pass beginning at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, August 1st. That's when the first prelim rolls. We'll also talk about UFC on ESPN 28, Bellator 263, all of it. So buckle up here for the next hour. We're with you here. There he is, the president of Cage Warriors, Graham Boylan. Are you all right, mate? How you doing?
I'm good. It's amazing to see you in that t-shirt, man. You bring back so many memories, like I said. I think it was 2011 or 2012 we had those t-shirts.
Yeah. So, Graham, we've known him for a long time, but he's had two spells with Cage Warriors. Came to the studio, gave us some nice gifts. I hung on it. It's one of my favorites. It just pops, man. I love it. And, of course, now, as you've come back, you've actually transitioned into a SoCaler, which is what we used to be before we moved to Vegas. You're now living in San Diego, and you're trying to plant the flag of Cage Warriors in Southern California, specifically San Diego, or do you want to hit Orange County, LA? You know, what's your plan there?
Yeah, we're going to do – I'm based in San Diego, so it makes sense for me to get stuff done here. So we're going to do four. We're going to do four a year in San Diego, and we'll probably get two into LA. So we'll do eight. Starting from the August 1st show, we'll do another seven more over the next 12 months, but mainly San Diego is the home. That would be the flag for now.
Mm-hmm. And it was basically just you realizing after, I think you've been here 18 months, 2 years, that just, hey, something big needs to start happening here. You know, obviously we did have a pandemic and all that, but I know what you're saying. I don't remember too many shows in Southern California the last few years, even non-pandemic. So is that what you're trying to do, or you're just – are you a hometown promoter where you realize you think you can make an impact? Like, why did you decide that? Because you've been so successful in the UK, Europe, even traveling to the Middle East.
Yeah, it was like, so we do 10 to 14 shows a year in Europe. And those shows are going to stay. They're going to remain. We're still going to do that. But being here in San Diego and training here and understanding that there's nowhere for these guys to compete. They've all got to leave the state. They've all got to leave the city to compete. There's nothing happening for them. They're training for 6 hours a day, and there's nowhere for them to compete and show their skills. They can't fight in front of their family, their friends, their crew. And I've been training down at the arena with Charles Martinez. I've been training over at the boxing club with Perez, down at Studio 540 doing jiu-jitsu. And there's nothing for these guys. There's nothing there for them to compete on. So they're all traveling. They're either leaving the country or they're leaving the state to actually put their skills to test and costs for them. So it's like, you know, let's just get the show here. I've got the show. I've got it in Europe. The system's set. The reputation is there. The brand is there. So let's put it on. And we did. And it sold out.
One hell of a reputation. The list goes on and on. Martin Campman, Jack Hermanson, Dan Hardy, Patty Pimblett, Jim Ehlers. I remember them all. I left out the two big guns on purpose because they always get brought up in your interviews, but you literally have put out a lot of talent. I think in looking at your personal Instagram, Ian Garry, I believe, is number 105, 110, just going into the UFC. So definitely the reputation's there. You must be proud of that.
Yeah, we're super proud. You know, it's what we do. We know our place within the MMA hierarchy. You know, we develop superstars. You know, they don't make shit tons of money with us, but they get the platform in return. What we deliver, we have a PR machine, we have a broadcast footprint that is probably bigger than any organization outside of the US. I mean, we broadcast live into 180 million homes across 100 plus countries, as well as globally on UFC Fight Pass streaming. So that footprint and that exposure, that platform for a fighter at that level when they're coming up, it's huge for them. And it turns their social accounts over, it churns them over as soon as they get some kind of crazy finish or a spectacular finish on Cage Warriors. They get to show their skills there. It gets amplified by what we do. And, you know, we turn guys who have got great records into stars. Some guys have got, I've said this over the years, they got amazing records. They could be 9-10-0 and still sitting waiting for that call. One fighting Cage Warriors in a single sign.
Yeah. Is Cage Warriors Southern California, which I know you haven't named it that, I'm just kind of naming it in a way. Is it like a SmackDown and Raw for you where you have like you're building two stables, two rosters and different roads to the title? And will there be two different titles or do they all compete for the same title and all they are under one banner?
They're all under one banner. There's one title. We're not going to get involved in there's a title for the US, there's a title for Europe, and there's a title for the Middle East. There's one title, and they all compete for that one title. Now, this first show on August the 1st, this debut show, we'll have a look at the winners on that, and we'll have a look at the performers on that, the guys who come out and perform, but, you know, they don't get the nod if it goes decisions and stuff. But we'll look solidly at those fights and give contracts to the guys who we feel we can build. We're going to do another show in October. It's already dated and contracted. So off the back of that, we look at the winners and the performers on that one. We're then going to put that Southern California team together. And that team will fight the rest of the states. And it will fight guys from Europe. So coming into the new year, we'll be bringing the European roster in to fight that San Diego SoCal team. And we'll be bringing guys in from the rest of the states to fight them as well. And we look to build them up.
Graham, we're gigantic fight nerds. And the one thing that always stands out about Cage Warriors is just consistency. You know what you're going to get. Are there going to be any changes? Is this basically going to look the same? Cage, gloves, everything? I mean, are we going to have that same feel?
Yeah, it's going to be 100%. Nothing's going to change. The only thing changing on this show is for the first time ever, we're outdoor. And that's it. We're outdoor. That's the only thing. We've never done an outdoor show before. So the only thing that changes is we are outdoor. We got a brand new sparkling, shiny cage that was made here in the U.S. and shipped to us just recently, which we've had a night of. And actually getting it here in time for the event, but it's here. Yeah, there'll be no change. You know, we'll be opening the show. There'll be prelims. Then we'll switch into the main card. We'll have some prez. We'll come into five on the main card. Standard fighter walkout, same setup, same lighting rig, same TV, high-level production, running changes, same yellow gloves. We're just in San Diego and we're outdoor.
Humphreys by the Bay, is that going to be sort of a home base for now?
Yeah, for now, yeah, it's an amazing venue, and the background story behind this was booked when the state was still on the coronavirus emergency act, where there was still curfews or restrictions within the state. So a lot of venues that I spoke to when we were trying to book this show, they just weren't taking dates. There was no bookings, and they basically said, look, until the state restriction lifts, we're not taking dates anywhere. But Humphreys, they stood up and they said, by the time August comes, we believe the restrictions are going to be lifted. So we're happy to take the date and work with you. So we booked the venue and we decided it would be a good first show for us to do in the state and in San Diego. And if it was going to be behind closed doors, it was a perfect size. And if it opened up, we could fill it up anyway. So it just so happened that it opened up and we were able to get the fans in there, and it sold out. It sold out, I think, about 10 days ago, the last few tickets left. So we'll probably use it again in October. and then we'll see where we are in February. You know, it could be a case of it could work really well there. It may look spectacular. We might think, you know what, let's just keep it here. It looks great. And we'll keep it nice and exclusive, nice, fun TV studio style crowd. Or we may move it into an arena. We'll see what's there in January. First priority is to build this team. We want to get this SoCal roster sorted out.
There he is, folks, the president of Cage Warriors, Grant Boylan, good friend of the show, longtime friend of the show. Cage Warriors at one time was on MMA Junkies, so they are always going to be family. Don't forget to catch the show on Sunday, UFC Fight Pass, Sunday, August 1st, 6:30 p.m. is the first prelim. Main card starts at 8. Tons of names. I named off a few earlier. Gegard Mousasi, Conor McGregor, Michael Bisping, Brett Johns, Carl Amasu. I remember them all. They've all been through Cage Warriors. They've put a lot of talent also into the UFC. Oh, I cannot forget a shout-out to my man, Jake Hadley. He's become one of my favorites as well. Thank you, Graham, for joining us here on MMA Junkie Radio. Good luck on Sunday. Hopefully we can keep the chatter, man, going. I'm glad we're back in touch.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me on, boys. I look forward to chatting to you again.
All right, we'll see you. Take care, man. There you go. There he is, Graham Boylan. You can also check out Cage Warriors, the website, cagewarriors.com, so you can get more info on the website, about the promotion and what their plans are. Check out some of the previous events that they've had. Check out some of the ones they're already laying out for you UKers out there, Europeans out there. They got a 1-2-3 banner coming up here in the fall. That's how they roll over there. I've noticed they started doing that where they kind of go back-to-back-to-back dates. I love it. So I think personally that also assists Graham with the overseas travel. You know, you don't have to go back and forth as much, man. That trip will kick your ass, seriously. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, the cards that are coming up this weekend. We also have – I want you to know that we have our managing editor at the – well, what used to be called the Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles, Simon Samano. He's got a couple of the boys there for coverage of Bellator 263, headlined by AJ McKee. Excuse me, I should say Patricio Pitbull Frady versus AJ McKee. You know, you got to give respect to the champion. The champion not only is defending his belt, goes the featherweight title, so that's at stake. But the winner also gets another shiny belt, the Grand Prix belt, right, for the 16-man tournament that started a while ago. And yes, the $1 million payday for the winner of that fight. So that's why it's being hailed as the biggest fight ever in the history of Bellator MMA. Now we can look back and go, well, what about like Alvarez and Chandler? Or what about the Fedor's fights that have come through Bellator? Yeah, man, those have been monsters. And you could make an argument for that, and I probably wouldn't really push back on it too much. You know, it's all about opinion. But in terms of the prestige, you know, of what can be left behind, you got a champ versus an undefeated fighter who's been spectacular. Two guys that pretty much dislike each other. And again, the $1 million, title. Plus, both of these guys have worked their way through the USA Today sports rankings, the only rankings that encompass all of MMA. Each promotion has their own rankings, but you're not going to hear about UFC fighters in the Bellator rankings and vice versa. You're not going to hear it otherwise. USA Today Sports MMA Junkie, however, covers it all. You look at the featherweight rankings, you see those two names very close to the top. They've earned their way there. That's the strong feeling of not just media fans, obviously our team, but goes. It doesn't get any bigger than McKee versus Frady this weekend.
I think the one thing that trumps everything is when you look at Chandler Alvarez, Eddie Alvarez already had a background, you know, coming from overseas. We'd seen him fight in different organizations. Michael Chandler was a homegrown guy. These two fighters here in Pitbull and McKee are like homegrown Bellator guys that have worked their way to this fight.
Yeah.
That, to me, might be that one little deciding factor that makes it the biggest Bellator fight ever. Just because of that, the fact that there's $1 million on the line is pretty huge. Like you said, you can argue it all day, back and forth. I get it. I don't think anybody will be wrong. But I do feel like maybe this would be the one thing.
So, goes, is this fight the biggest one ever in Bellator history? Does it trump Chandler and Alvarez going in? Because we already know the result coming out. We know Alvarez versus Chandler, both of them were awesome. I think my favorite one was the first one. But going into all the fights involving Fedor or Rampage or Vandalay or Sonnen or whoever, They've had great champions, right? Musasi, Lima. Going in, is this one for you the biggest one in Bellator history?
I think going in, it's going to be the biggest one in history just because, like I said, they're two homegrown talent. There's $1 million on the line, and there's heat. Those are a couple components that were missing out of Alvarez and Chandler when they first locked up. Now, I will say this. At the end of the day with Alvarez and Chandler, that ended up being one of the greatest Bellator fights in history. Could even be argued as one of the greatest MMA fights in history. I mean, that was an incredible fight. So these two guys have a lot of pressure on their backs to perform. But if you look at the history of both fighters, when have they not performed? That's why we're so intrigued here. Both guys have been monsters in all competition that they've had. So going in, it's going to be huge. And I believe coming out, it's going to be huge as well.
Yeah, beautifully put. You know, do you miss, by the way, anything of the Pitbull antics from about 5 years ago where by now we would have already heard about an elevator incident or a hotel lobby incident? You know, I've been watching them, and maybe it's them being grown up now and, you know, they have families and just kind of been there, done that. But we kind of haven't seen anything. And, of course, we know McKee, he rolls from the LBC. You know how they get down over there. They're all in L.A., but it seems like maybe Hollywood is chill. L.A. is chill. Maybe everybody's just chill till Saturday night, which is good.
I think money is chill. I think when there's this much money on the line, I think you're probably going to hold back a little bit, right? Because any other fight, I think, can if it has to be rescheduled or something happens, all right, you know, you live with that. But losing out on a possibility of $1 million, you never know. So I think but to answer your question, do I miss it? I kind of miss it a little bit, but the thing with the Pitbull brothers is you never know how far that's going to go.
True.
So yeah, I guess if I had to choose one or the other, I'd probably choose a more tame Pitbull than a crazy Pitbull. But it's Thursday. You never know. That's the thing with these guys. You never know.
I may have just jinxed it now that I think about it. And, you know, Eric Albarracin, Capitan das Americas, Antonio McKee, they're not far behind. So hopefully Bellator's got that extra security detail. We definitely don't want to miss this fight. Arguably the best fight, not just in Bellator history, of the weekend. And I know the UFC's got a fight card on ESPN. I get it. Uriah Hall versus Sean Strickland. I plan on watching them both. Why? Because the start times are kind of convenient. I expect Hall and Strickland to go off around 8:30 or 9. I expect McKee and Pitbull to go off 9 or 9:30. So I kind of looked and studied the fight card and the progression of how they run their fights, and it looks like we'll be able to watch them both. Now, the rest of the time, you may have to flip-flop back and forth. But, I mean, who doesn't have two or three TVs in their living room by now? You don't even have to have one of these man caves or nothing like that. You know, between your laptops, tablets, these televisions that just have everything and they make it so easy for you to just plug in and plug out. Folks, you got to have all that ready, because I'm telling you, more of this is going to happen. You know, with PFL is going to get back in action. You know, sometimes they jump on a Thursday, sometimes they jump on a Friday. But my point is, a lot of people aren't just MMA fans. They're fans of other sports as well. You know, baseball is going to have their playoffs coming up soon. The NBA is going to kick off in November. Football, pro, college, and high school, all weekend long. So start investing in one of those big TVs. Tell the wife, hey, man, we only got $1,500 back from the IRS, when in fact you really got $2,500. Go out to that local Walmart or Fry's. Fry's is no longer in business. Why did I say that? Best Buy. And spend a grand on a couple TVs. You know what I mean? That way you're locked in. Just tell her you got $1,500. She'll be happy. Say, you know what? I'm gonna give you $1,000 of it. I'm gonna keep $500. When in reality, you pocketed $1,500. That's the way it's supposed to go down, fellas. Do I have to tell you everything? Anyway, hey,
the triple TV setup. I was thinking about this earlier. Was the genesis of that the triple cast for the Olympics? Do you remember that? Where they had three different channels. Right back when in cable, you would order what was called the triple cast on cable, and you could switch between the three channels to see which events you wanted to watch. Was that where like the three? Because remember, we'd switch one when we keep going back and forth. Is that where the idea of the triple TV came, or did it come from NFL where you would do like, you know, back then they didn't have a team in SoCal. Mm-hmm. So you would get two games and then the one, you know, like, is that where it came from?
No, I'll tell you exactly where it came from. Between 1993 and 1995, I lived with my buddies, my best buddies, at a big house in Santa Ana, California. I'm not going to lie. This one wasn't the mean streets. It was kind of like in northern Santa Ana. Some million-dollar homes there. And we would watch. We had this Mitsubishi big-screen TV. And we would be watching, we'll say, USC versus Notre Dame. But we'd have other bets going on. There was two ways you could get the scores. You could call this one guy. His name was Jack Price, I think. Hey, I'm Jack Price. I'm 90-1 in my last 91 picks. Call me. I give you $24. I'll give you the whole board. Last week I was 100-0. Blah blah blah. Right. And then after he finished his little spiel, they'd say, "In the Big Ten, Oklahoma defeated Texas. Missouri defeated Vanderbilt." Well, they're not in the Big Ten. None of them are. But you know what I mean. And he'd go through all those, right? So you had to sit there and wait. But they said it so fast, man. That was one thing. And then the other thing was, you could have it, I believe it was CNN or Headline News, and they would scroll the scores underneath. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Even before ESPN did it. It was one of those other ones. So we'd be watching, but we wanted to see if we were winning this game, if our parlay was going to hit. And nobody wanted to sit through Jack Price, you know, and all those clowns. So you'd watch it. And you could tell, oh, no, because now they're coming to the Pac-10 and the Mountain West, and they're about to do the Big Ten, right? So you know they're going to get to your score. But then the announcer would go, all right, the kickoff has been downed. They will take over when we come back from the 20-yard line. And they go to a commercial, and when they'd come back, all the Big Ten scores had gone by, and you had to sit through Hawaii and fucking, you know, the Northeast, the ACC, you know. And so – this was like we were actually gambling a little bit more money back then. And I remember I got to give Sammy the Squid credit. He goes, you know, it'd be a lot fucking cheaper if we just had if we just bought a dumb 19-inch TV. Because back then I think it was 12-inch, 19-inch, 27-inch, and then a big screen. It's not like now where it's like every 5 inches. He goes, you know what? We should just buy a 19-inch screen and just get a splitter and always have it on fucking CNN so that that score is just always there. He goes, that would be cheaper than us calling this guy. I think it might be 90 cents when you call, 99 cents when you called them or whatever. So that was the genesis of having two TVs. But then I got to give a shout out to my other buddy, John Shanahan. He lived in Corona Del Mar. His family came for money. I went to his house one day after partying, and he had three TVs. Two for the setup that I just described, which was one for the watching the game. The other one was for scores, but when it wasn't scores, I think he had his Sega Genesis or his PlayStation out. And then the last one that was always porn. So that's where he came up with his three TV setup, and it just worked out. So I got Squid kind of put the idea. Shanahan took it to another level. I had it for the last 20 years. And then, of course, Big Ralph came in and smashed us all. He's got five TVs in his man cave, which – sometimes can be a bit much, but I got used to it. I think I was just a hater. I was like, no, this is too much. Three's good. But inside, I was like, God damn, he just trumped us all. Over there, it's like, check out the home run. Bottom right. Oh, okay. Oh, wow, you got to see this play. Top left, you know. But it's really, really smooth in his place. He's got a great man cave.
Can I transition to something really quick, just since we're on that topic?
Mm-hmm.
So I brought up the triple cast, which was – oh, timeout.
You know what?
What?
I forgot, dude. I think the reason I was so open to Squid's idea. Oh, no, wait a minute. Squid, this is going to be interesting, Goes, because I remember this vividly. Juliet just bailed me out. When I went to Memphis, Tennessee, remember when I went with Charlie and Daryl on the 24-hour trip?
Yeah.
I had some time to spare, and I went to Elvis's house. Elvis had a 3-TV setup. That was in the late 90s. I may not have seen Shanahan's yet. I think when I saw Shanahan's, I was like, holy cow, because I thought it was just out of the realm of possibility. But I did see that. When I saw it, I thought, that's brilliant, taking it to the third. That's right. I remember that.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Elvis Presley, the king, huh?
Elvis Presley, the king, yeah. And little did I know that I'd be buying three TVs from the king in La Habra. What was that guy's name? Paul from Paul's TV?
Paul the big screen, yeah.
I am the king.
I brought the triple cast, right, which was something that the Olympics had done back then. One thing that I constantly hear is, well, two things. Jiu-jitsu should be in the Olympics, and MMA should be in the Olympics. I think every year maybe we tackle this subject. I'd like to tackle it one more time.
Okay.
MMA will never be an Olympic sport. Stop bringing it up. It makes zero sense. And if they do make it an Olympic sport, you will never get the best athletes in the world competing in it. Can we please stop with this already?
Yeah, unless you want amateurs, Goes is right. You're just never going to get the best in the world. So you're going to get almost like the feeling we get for many years when the United States could hang with Russia and Cuba, but there would be times where we would lose these pivotal fights, like Teofilo Stevenson was, I think, a four-time gold medalist. And you could just tell that's one of the best heavyweights in the world. Why aren't we watching him against Ken Norton and George Foreman and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier? But because Cuban athletes weren't allowed to be professionals, that was a struggle. A lot of Russian athletes, you know, same thing. They were just already men. They were professionals, you know. We were sending kids, 18, 19, 20 years old. We could still hang with a lot of them. Check out our 1976 team, our 1984 team, 1988 team. They're killers. But NBA finally said enough. And remember 1992, we sent the Dream Team. And they got squashed. So, yeah, I mean, we can do it, but – whoever wears that gold medal is not going to be the best lightweight in the world, the best welterweight lightweight in the world. So we can keep it amateur, I guess, if that's what you want. That's fair. I think every country is on a level playing field when it comes to amateur MMA. But you're not going to get the best. I don't think the UFC, Bellator, whoever, would release their fighters to go in there because they can still win and have their nose broken or tear their knee or break a knuckle. Mm-hmm. And now they're not available to their promotion to fight. So and those are big money. I mean, look what happened to Conor McGregor. Can you imagine if Ireland sent McGregor and that happened? Holy mm-hmm. cow, the UFC would be mad. It happened on their dime, so they're not as mad. They're still mad. Not mad, but sad. But if it happened the other way, it'd be way more mad than sad.
Yeah, and then just think about the time frame, right, in which the Olympics takes place. Like, are fighters really going to be able to turn it around that quickly? And I know they do it on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah,
but I just don't see that high level athlete risking all that promotions, risking matchups. It makes no sense, and they're doing it for way less than what they would make if they did it outside of the Olympics. So please, can we stop bringing this up?
I think the only one that came close to proving to me, hey, look, I think we can pull it off, is either the one night tournaments, but don't go eight, go four. And that's it, and then the fighter goes home. Or Bellator used to have every month, they used to have a quarterfinal, semifinal, final, and they pulled it off many times, the early Bellators, the Bjorn Rebney era. So with the Olympics, it's usually 16 days. So it's 2 weeks. It starts like on a Friday, and then it ends two Sundays later. But some of the sports, they allow them to come in a little bit early and compete. I think if they ever did it and brought pro fighters in, you could do something similar and sneak them in 1 week early, have them have those fights, and then just kind of have the finals, I guess, on the last day. So that would be a 3 week turnaround. Maybe you could get around some suspensions. You know, I don't know. I was looking at Punav Soriano. I don't know why that one stands out, but he fought on the 24th, I believe, and he can't compete till the 15th is when he gets cleared. So that's about 3 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, there you have it, you know. He was on the losing end of a fight. He gets cleared in 3 weeks. A lot of fighters could get cleared, but it would just be too many hoops to jump through. But it is a shame that Brazilian jiu-jitsu or jiu-jitsu in general, whatever you want to call it, is not part of the Olympics. They had an excellent chance to debut in Rio de Janeiro, the home of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or now in Tokyo, the original home of jiu-jitsu before it became Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, it being Japan, which I guess technically someone could tap me on the shoulder and go, you know, India had a play in all this. I get that. But still, the last two Olympics are in birthplaces of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. I think eventually that one will happen. But there's just no way.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great. It would be tremendous. Another thing Juliet's doing is killing me. Goes the smell of bacon. Is it all the way up there yet?
Not yet.
Oh, man. I can't wait for this show to end on that regard. But we still got 30 minutes to go. We got to talk a little bit about UFC. However, I wanted to stay on the Olympics theme only because I thought Junkie did a great job, the guys over at Junkie, asking some of the fighters to weigh in on Simone Biles. I don't know if you know the whole deal, but basically she's regarded as one of, if not the greatest gymnast ever. Four Olympic medals, gold, one silver, one bronze, tons in the world championships. Her accolades speak for themselves. However, in the middle of competition, she pulled out as part of the team, you know, representing, because not only do you go as an individual, you compete as a member of Team USA. She pulled out, and so that's been being talked about a lot. I figured we could talk about it too, especially since we got some MMA fighters to chime in on that topic over at Bellator. What are your thoughts on this, Goz? You know, she said this was a mental health reason that she decided to not continue. I guess the pressure was just too much. Is that good for you? And I realize this is a very, very sensitive subject, folks. Please respect our opinions. I think we'll try our best to be respectful as we answer.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys that I need more information. So that's kind of like a broad topic, right? Mental health, that can be a lot of different things. So I would probably need to hear more from her. So Henry Cejudo, I don't know if you, did you see what he did? Mm-hmm. On Instagram, he released a video on this. And then remember, this is a guy that's competed in mixed martial arts and the Olympics. So he's been there before. And he made a good point. One of his points was, are we confusing mental health with pressure, right? Because everybody goes through pressure. If you're confusing those two things, then yeah, you can maybe make a case for, look, if it's pressure, everybody's got to deal with pressure. They're Olympic athletes. They're all there feeling kind of roughly the same stuff. Most of them are all banged up, just like MMA. So everybody deals with pressure. If that's what she succumbed to, then yeah, it is a bit of a shame because that spot could have went to somebody else, right? But when you describe mental health, if it is something else, then absolutely, I think you have to support her. Those type of things happen. So really, I'm one of those guys that needs more information on the topic. But just given her history and knowing that she's competed at the highest level before, same thing like on The Ultimate Fighter, not this past week, but the week before, when you look at Miles Huntzinger, right? He's fought before. He fights in a gym with some of the scariest athletes on the planet. I don't think you can question his willingness of did he want to fight or not. Sometimes these things just happen. So I'm a guy that needs more information before I go out there and start throwing stones at someone.
Mm-hmm. And I should have said, please respect our answers, our opinions, because we're going to try and give you our best, most honest opinion coming from a good place. You don't have to respect our opinions. I can't ask you to do it. I just meant the fact that we're coming from a good place. We're not going to try and be over the top or punk anybody or anybody. We're just real dudes telling you the way it is. I think of Scottie Pippen goes, and Scottie Pippen is one of the 50 greatest basketball players ever. He's got 6 titles. He's a winner in every book you look at, right, in terms of that. When you start to split hairs and you look at some documentaries or whatever, from time to time, it does come up the migraine and the game he sat out, I think, because of a migraine. And then the other one was
he didn't get the ball.
They gave it to Tony Kukoc. I think Jordan was no longer on the team at that time. He took that little 2-year sabbatical to go be a baseball player. And so he gets ringed up on that a few times. Does it bother him? Probably. Is it going to change the fact that he's one of the 50 greatest players ever, a 6-time world champion, a Hall of Famer? No. No one's going to say he's a terrible basketball player. But when it just comes to certain conversations, like GOAT conversations or best small forward conversations or things like that, this will come up. And I think the same is going to happen with Biles. Obviously, whatever she's done is already outstanding. That's why she's regarded as possibly the GOAT in women's gymnastics. But when you compare her to other athletes, I think this will come up and it'll probably sting her the same way you kind of see Pippen sometimes. You can tell it bothers him. But in the end, you know, once the subjects drop, he's still Scottie Pippen for crying out loud. You know what I mean? He's rich. He's famous. He had a great career. She'll still be Simone Biles. Could she have forecasted better in terms of, yeah, you know, did she know she was going to possibly let the team down or rob someone else of an opportunity? I don't know. I don't know if this just snuck up on her or not. And I will say what Go said. Without that information, we don't know, you know. Plus, I also want to give a pass to athletes that are competing during this pandemic. You don't know, man. She may have been ready to go and then boarded that plane and went to Tokyo and is just freaked the fuck out with no fans, masks everywhere, reading the news and just seeing that every day there's somebody else. And then you start to think, well, wait a minute, I was in the same room with that person, or I shared an elevator, or I was in their vicinity. You know, maybe that is something, you know. Plus, I got to give a shout out to Carla Duran. She pointed out, she's a friend of mine, that's Stitch Duran's daughter. She pointed out that I think Biles is the last remaining gymnast that's part of that. I guess his name was Larry Nassar, that doctor that sexually abused gymnasts. I think that, I hope I have the right guy. And a lot of people think that she did it, Goes, because not enough was done to this man, mm-hmm. and not enough was done against the United States Olympic Committee that's part of gymnastics. So I don't know if they're called the USOG or whatever. And her still being there is what will allow for the right people to be, I guess, reprimanded is not even a strong enough word, but anybody associated with that, I guess, punished, you know? So there's a lot at play here that we don't know. And I don't know what her mental health status has been in the past. And if she's dealt with it before and she was able to power through and do what she's done, then she's already an incredible young lady. But we'll see, man. We'll see. You know, you're not, folks, I just want you to know, you're never going to be everyone's cup of tea, you know? So if you see someone out there that just says, nope, should have toughed it out, that's just them. You're not going to change their mind, and it doesn't mean they're right or wrong. That's just their opinion. So if you see someone that does and says that and you don't agree with it, then just don't agree with it. You know what I mean? But I know one thing. That's one thing I thought for sure we would always jive on, like when it came to one certain human topic. And I always give the example. You'll find someone, if there's a Twitter video of – a nun that rescues a kitty from a tree and hands it to the little girl. And the little girl cries and says, thank you. You know, someone will find something to say something about the nun, the fucking cat, or the little girl. I mean, I'm telling you, there's just evil people out there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing with social media is your opinion can go out quickly to so many people. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was like, if I had that stupid joke or whatever, man, I had to pick up the phone and call someone and tell that joke 20, 30 times. Or I had to go to school and say it in front of the classroom or something, right? Now it's just a push of a button. But yeah, like that's thing number one. You got to have all of the facts and all of the information. And I just feel like we don't have it. But I do respect someone like a Henry Cejudo that has been in that situation to offer his opinion, because I think it is there's some validity to it. You know, he's a guy that's been through a lot of those things. So I don't think he's wrong in giving his opinion and sharing that. But I do see a lot of people that are just jumping down her throat. And then I see a lot of people who are doing the reverse, you know, saving her. I just feel like you need more information before you can really take that type of stance.
Of the haters, I bet you half of them are just putting on an act. They really support her. It's just more fun to be a heel, you know. You have a chance to be a heel on social media. And I'll just remind people, don't pay attention to that, folks. Skip it. Don't let people consume, you know, your well-being over what they have to say. Just go, man, there's focus on the people that love you, you know?
If we knew everything about everything, we would never turn into 30 for 30, right? Or any of those, or the one on the Bulls, right? You mentioned Scottie Pippen. Why would we tune into that if we knew everything? How many times do you look at some of that footage and go, wow, that was what was really going on behind the scenes? Like, aren't we just now hearing people? I mean, yeah, here and there you would hear some things about, man, Jordan was kind of a dick. He was a terrible teammate. Now you're starting to hear like all kinds of stuff, right? So you just never know what is totally going on in a situation. So it's so tough to just jump out and be like, this is how it's got to be and this and that. Like, dude, you got to let things play out.
But looking back, if you were on those teams and you won six titles with him, would you just accept that he was a dick? He was the way he was, maybe a bully, but you won? If that's what it took, so would I. I think so would I. Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to my man, Dan Tom, the biggest Scottie Pippen fan in the world. I can't wait to see what he sends me. I know he's going to send me something. But, hey, I covered my ass. He's one of the 50 greatest, one of the greatest small forwards ever, except I think he takes it as far as saying he may have even been more valuable to the Bulls than Jordan. And that's where we differ. But we agree to disagree. I love Dan Tom. Check out his analysis on our website. He is our fight guru, man. He is the man that breaks down our fights. And check out his podcast, the Protect Your Net podcast. It drops every Thursday, Friday, depending on how quick he can get to it. It's about an hour long, and he does great analysis of fight picks. He's given me some good ones in the past few weeks. So I tipped his ass, man. I had to do it, man. Like, without that, it was a 30 to 1 shot on a round three. I just can't remember. It was like 2 weeks ago. But he nailed it. He fucking nailed it. So hopefully he can grab himself a nice lunch or something.
You know that list, that 50 greatest basketball players?
Yeah.
Like, that, dude, that is to be on that list is amazing. But when you think about, like, the new crop of players that come into the NBA every year, you're really fighting, man, to stay on that list. Some of the names that have come up in the last, like, 5, 6, 7 years, dude, there's some great guys that you just look at them and you go, man, I know that guy's going to be on my list eventually. And to do that, they're going to knock somebody off, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to suck, I think, for some players. I don't know how often they update that list or what, but I think it would. There's probably about 10 to 20, I think, that might be untouchable. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them, I think, are touchable. And that's got to suck, dude. Like, you know, Jordan, Magic, they're never going to be, you know, LeBron, those guys, they'll be on that list, Kobe. But there's a couple of them that I think are just barely hanging on that, you know, eventually they're going to get clowned. And it doesn't mean they're not a great player, but it just sucks.
Well, I'm almost curious to just pull it up and see. If I'm not mistaken, the NBA had an opportunity to have all 50 there, if not for Wilt Chamberlain and Shaq. No, Shaq and Jerry West. But I can't remember if that was the unveiling of the top 50 or what it was. And I was like, why didn't you guys go? And I think Jerry West, who was the general manager of the Lakers, was either scared to fly or just a bitter old man. I don't know. And then Shaq had an injury. I'm like, oh. I had an injury. I flew across the United States with a torn patellar tendon. I'm sure they could have got Shaq, a private plane to just stand there in crutches. And whoever else was missing, I forget, but I thought they could have had them all. I have to look that one up. I'll come strong on Monday and see if I can cover this subject.
It sounds familiar, yeah.
Had them all, dude. That would have been so historic. You couldn't do that in baseball because Cy Young, for example, you're never going to break a record for most wins. He couldn't be there. That was in the early 1900s. Babe Ruth, he's gone. You know what I mean? DiMaggio, whoever. A lot of these cats are gone. But NBA could have pulled it off.
Kobe's gone now, right? So you can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think Wilt had died yet. But I'll have to check. I'll have to check just to make sure. But, yeah, Kobe's gone now. So what are you going to do? All right, so let's reset here. Let's see. We covered – so Bellator 263 is on Saturday. McKee versus Pitbull for the title. For the Grand Prix title and for $1 million, that concludes the Featherweight Grand Prix. Hopefully afterwards, Pitbull Frady, win or lose, will address 155 pounds because he's the champion there. He needs to defend, you know, he needs to defend that title as well and get the lightweight division. I mean, who doesn't have a lightweight division that pops nowadays? I'll tell you who. Bellator. So they need to get going with that. And that same night, Uriah Hall and Sean Strickland will headline UFC on ESPN 28. That's a great clash of middleweights there. Uriah Hall beat Whiteman and Silva, along with some of the other quality wins that he's had. He's also had some losses, but at 36 years of age, this is his chance to parlay this moment to, you know, be a headliner on a fight night on ESPN and make his stake for a run at the title. Whitaker versus Adesanya is next. We get that. But who comes in the next wave? Maybe this could be Uriah Hall, his moment. And for Sean Strickland to get one over on Uriah Hall, that would be huge. With the comeback that he's had after the two-year layoff after the motorcycle that also gave him a torn patella tendon like myself, it's one hell of a comeback story. So this should be a really, really fun fight on Saturday. Selfishly, I'm also looking at Cheyenne Bays, who we called her fights at Tough Enough as an amateur, and now I just think the future is bright for her as a pro. I know she's only 1-1, and I know she couldn't get out of that schoolyard choke, but trust me, man, I see some skills there. I think she's going to be one of the good ones, so we'll keep an eye on her.
Yeah, I think my wallet is hoping she will be one of the good ones. That's going to be a good fight. I like the main event, Strickland and Uriah Hall. I don't know really how to call that fight because anytime Uriah Hall fights, I always get it wrong. But I think I ended up turning in Strickland in this one. But that's going to be a good one. So really, like, if you're a sports fan, this weekend's going to be a lot of fun between the Olympics, between MMA and all that. Like, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, and apologies on David Feldman. We weren't able to get to the editorial in time to let them know he wouldn't be on the show. He had to switch things around. So David Feldman, the president of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, they just had their 19th card. 20th is about 3 weeks away. We will do an interview with him, and you will be able to see it in its entirety on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. We'll touch on all the latest rumors, like Diego Sanchez wants to go to Bare Knuckle. So does Chuck Liddell. Well, at least he said, hey, the phone, if it rings, I'll answer it. Tyron Woodley versus Hector Lombard. Is he ready to make that? Van Zandt versus Ostovich 3. Is that going to happen? Is he still in the Paige Van Zandt business? I think so. They got two fights left, but it's been a little bit of a disappointment. She's gotten 0-2. I'm sure he would have preferred, 2-0. So there's lots to talk about there with David Feldman. I think we're going to have a great conversation. It just won't happen on this show, so apologies for that. Hey, Goes, let's talk about McGregor. It's been a few days since the news of him putting out the tweet that probably pissed off Khabib Nurmagomedov and then since deleted. But we haven't talked about it because we are a Monday and Thursday show, and so I believe this happened Tuesday. When Poirier beat McGregor, Khabib said, good always beats evil. Mm-hmm. And McGregor, now 3 weeks later, has to be stewing for many reasons. A, his fucking leg is broken, or I'm sure it's healed now. He's got a plate in there. He just can't do what he wants to do. I don't even know if he can walk on it. I think he's got to have the cast for 6 weeks. He's probably got three more to go. He's probably stewing over that, the loss. Maybe he's even mad at himself when he takes a look at the way he's acting. Who knows? Who knows what's going through his head? But 3 weeks later, he decides to tweet, well, going back to Khabib's tweet of good always beats evil, I think he wrote something like, I guess COVID is good, father is evil, and then immediately deleted it. What the fuck, Goes? Like, seriously. And by the way, as John Morgan pointed out when he did the story on this, McGregor was very classy towards Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov, which is the father of Khabib Nurmagomedov and the Nurmagomedov family. Very classy. He talked about the impact he's had for MMA, for that team in Dagestan. So why I say this is to be able to do that after everything they've been through. And the fact is, Khabib kicked his butt. Shows that he was able to put the sporting side of him aside and put out what the human side of Conor McGregor is, which is to show respect, and he did. And so to now have this one moment, I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. I mean, think about where you have to be, what kind of headspace you have to be to do something like that, to say something like that. Like, those are words that even people you dislike, like your worst enemy, it's even rough saying it to someone like that, you know, like, let alone somebody that you have said in the past that you have respect for, somebody that does the same thing you do, that's been through the same things you have. That's fucking rough, man. I can't believe he went there. Obviously very disappointed in Conor McGregor in saying that, but I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to get very disappointed in the people around him, that we have not heard anything from any of them, at least saying, listen, we're going to try and talk to this guy and figure out what the hell is going on, what's wrong. We're going to try and get him some help or something, because, you know, it's that old saying, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Mm-hmm. I think at some point, even if that was my boy, I'd have to say, look, man, you can't keep doing this shit. It's not good. I wish Dana White would say something, you know, like, hey, we don't condone this. You know, I know that there's heat in a lot of fights and fighters say things and do things, but there has to be a certain line. And we're going to talk to Conor McGregor about that line or something. Sponsors, managers, just somebody's got to step up and say something. And I want those words to be, we're going to try and get this guy help.
Doesn't it almost strike you as I didn't see what time the tweet was put out, but I'm going to use in my sense. It almost looks like a pissed off GG, Saturday night, 3 a.m., been hitting the bottle, had a rough week, and I just decided to do something stupid, say something stupid or do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like a waking up and having bacon and eggs and then you decide to do that while your little kid's bouncing on your lap. That doesn't seem like that type of – it seems like that other side. And that other side can be just a human being in a dark place, you know. I don't know. Of course, it may be another influence, but I hate to put those allegations out because I don't know the guy. There's rumors of him partying. But could it have been something like that? Could it have been saucing? What the fuck? Why would his anger be so fueled that he would go there?
Well,
you know, the last few things you can say if you want to prop yourself up and you know, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of mad, I guess, when I couldn't do anything for a long time and my knee was, you know, jacked up. I mean, I told you guys I couldn't even shower for like 10 days. I just felt miserable, you know, but I wasn't drinking because I was taking medication. But I don't know what could fuel him to kind of have that type of a rage and anger. I don't know.
Well, the last time that something like this, where I think the UFC just kind of let it play out, was the incident with the dolly and the bus. And you saw that kind of mayhem and you saw the effect that it had on not just the UFC and Dana White, but other people. I just feel like, learn your lesson, you know, get in front of it this time. Really, really crack down on this guy. Really, really talk to him and figure this out, because Habib is beloved in Russia. Not just in Russia, you know, like I think that's transferred over here. There's a lot of fans in here in America that love that guy. And it's not always Habib you have to worry about. You know, people can get out of hand. We've seen this in other sports. People can do some nasty things, and I'd hate for something like that to go down, all because some guy just couldn't check his emotions like that. Something really needs to be addressed in this.
I agree. All right, so folks, tomorrow, let's do it this way. One Championship has a card called One Battleground. It's hybrid Muay Thai and kickboxing and MMA. But MMA stars Ong La and Song and Victoria Lee, part of the starring Lee family. Maybe she's not a star yet, but the fighting Lee family out of Hawaii is. And she's like 16, 17 years old. She's going in for her second fight. So she's also on the card. It starts at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 5:30 a.m. Pacific. You can get it on the One app or on YouTube. Check it out. And then on Saturday, we have a UFC on ESPN 28 and Bellator 263 card. Both of them evening, early afternoon to evening affairs, you know, when you include the prelims. Your headliners there in the UFC is Uriah Hall and Sean Strickland. Your headline over at Bellator is Patricio Pitbull Frady versus AJ McKee. One last thing here before we bounce out. And Cage Warriors on Sunday on the UFC Fight Pass, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. for the main card. 6:30 p.m. Pacific for the prelims, 8 p.m. Pacific for the main card, Cage Warriors. So that's kind of late on the East Coast. I get it, 11 p.m. start time, but that's how we roll in SoCal. last thing here, I want to give a shout out to MMA Junkie. They were nominated for Best Media Source for the 13th annual World MMA Awards. The time that's being covered is our coverage of mixed martial arts, July 1st, 2020 to June 30th of 2021. So let's just say today we posted fake news. You couldn't hold it against us because that would go on to next year. So yeah, it's July 1st of 2020 to June 30th of 2021. Now, they used to go basically January to December, but they switched things up and they did an 18-month window for the last one. I don't know how they're going to fix it going forward, or they may just stay with this. But here are some of the nominees. Did you want to say anything about this, Goes, or you want me to just rattle off some of these nominees?
You want to hear the nominees.
Okay. Fighter of the Year, Usman, Marino, Amosov. So that's the new champion over there at Bellator, Yaroslav Amosov. Oliveira and Blachowicz. Female Fighter of the Year. And remember, what did these guys or gals do between July 1st of 2021 or 2020 to June 30th of 2021? Shit. July 1st of 2020 to June 30th of 2021. There you go. Usman, Marino, Amosov, Oliveira, Blachowicz. Right away I can think of, I think Usman fought Masvidal, and I think it was July of 2020. Yeah, 2020. So that Burns and Masvidal again, that's three wins. He may be tough to beat because Marino drew in December. He also won in late November, and then he won, I believe, in May or June. So he's kind of like 2-0-1. We might have a player here. Oliveira beat Ferguson going back to last year, and then he beat Chandler. I can't remember if there was one other fight. So this just got released, so that's why I haven't had time to research it yet. But I'm just going off the top of my head. That's how you should play it out. You don't want to include anything that happened on June 30th, 2020, because it's out of the window. You see what I'm saying? It ends then. It starts with July 1st, 2020, all the way to June 30th, 2021. You understand how that goes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Female Fighter of the Year. Kenzie Dern, Kayla Harrison, Valentina Shevchenko, Rose Namajunas, Manon Fiorot. No Amanda Nunes. Wow. All right. I mean, even if she only had one appearance, I think you always include her, but whatever. Breakthrough Fighter of the Year. Hamzat Shimaev, Jiří Procházka, Brandon Moreno, Yaroslav Amosov, Kevin Holland.
Sounds tough.
International Fighter of the Year, Vadim Nemkov, Israel Adesanya, Yaroslav Amosov, Robert Whittaker, and Jan Blachowicz. Is Yaroslav Amosov on the committee for nominations?
I don't know.
Third time. Russian Fighter of the Year. Okay, just joking. Fight of the Year, Daly versus Omasi at Bellator 257. Barbosa versus Burgos, UFC 262. Figueiredo versus Moreno, UFC 256. Prochazka versus Reyes, UFC on ESPN 23. Ponzinibbio versus Baeza, UFC Fight Night 189. Knockout of the Year, AJ McKee over Darian Caldwell. Paul Craig over Jamal Hill. Jimmy Flick over Cody Durden. Anthony Hernandez over Rodolfo Vieira. I thought he submitted him. What's going on here? Habib Nurmagomedov over Justin Gaethje. Comeback of the Year, Paul Daly versus Sabah Omasi, Bellator 257. Tan Lee versus Martin Nguyen at one championship inside the Matrix. Sean Strickland, his career comeback, the one I described earlier. Rose Namajunas also coming back, career. Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler was waxed on him in round one. I think there was maybe even some 10-8s there, knocked him down, and Oliveira came back. Upset of the Year, Adriana Moraes over Demetrius Johnson. We might have our winner. Shanna Dobson over Maria Agapova. Clay Collard over Anthony Pettis. That was a good one.
Good one.
Elk Ray Noon versus Eddie Alvarez, possible. Anthony Hernandez versus Rodolfo Rivera. Yeah, that might be it too because of the way he did it, which I thought it was he submitted the submission champ. I'll have to go back and check it. All right, Coach of the Year, Eric Nixon goes. Henry Hooft, Mike Brown, Trevor Whitman, Jason Perillo. Trainer of the Year, Phil DeRue, Sam Calvita, Jordan Sullivan, Chase Sichos, Bo Sandoval. Gym of the Year, American Top Team, City Kickboxing, Elevation Fight Team, Ruka, Sanford MMA. Referee of the Year, Herb Dean, Dan Mergliata, Mark Smith, Jason Herzog, Mark Goddard. Ring Card Girl of the Year, Ariane Celeste, Luciana Andrade, Brooklyn Wren, Brittany Palmer, Kasia Matiok Ketchy is the last one. Leading Man of the Year, Dana White. Might as well give him the trophy now. Ed Soares, Mohamed Saeed, Denzine White, and Scott Coker. Yep.
That last Ring Card Girl, when I was reading, I was like, and when I looked at the picture, I went, like, I think it's KSW, right?
It could be.
Yeah, she ain't playing.
All right. Best promotion of the year, Bellator MMA, LFA, Brave Combat Federation, UAE Warriors, UFC. No PFL goes, no one championship.
Mm-hmm. It's a bold statement.
Personality of the Year, John Anik, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, Laura Sanko, Chael Sonnen. Analyst of the Year, Robin Black, Michael Bisping, Paul Felder, Dan Hardy, John McCarthy. Best MMA Programming, Morning Combat, Dana White Contender Series, DC and Helwani, Joe Rogan Experience MMA Show, and UFC Embedded. MMA Media Source of the Year, The Mac Life, BT Sport, ESPN MMA, MMA Fighting, MMA Junkie. Journalist of the Year, John Morgan, Shaheen Al-Shadi, Brett Okamoto, Ariel Helwani, Oscar Willis. And this is a new one, Fighting Spirit of the Year, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Compassion versus Justin Gaethje, transition from a armbar to a triangle to avoid distressing Gaethje's parents. Terrence McKinney, recovery from overcoming drug addiction and near death to UFC call-up and winning debut. Brandon Moreno, perseverance from being cut to fighting and becoming the first Mexican-born UFC champion. Dustin Poirier, charity, continued efforts with the Good Fight Foundation, giving back to local community in Louisiana. Dana White, leadership when all the sports were down and out due to COVID-19. Against all odds, Dana White made Fight Island real. There you have it. Those are all the nominations for all the.
Very cool. Anything? I like the new category. I like the new category, the spirit category. I think that was interesting.
Yeah, I liked it too. All right. Well, look, I guess we'll spend more time on that, but you can get some of your voting done right now. If you already know, oh, come on, man, Morgan and Junkie all day, then you can go and get the voting. It's already underway, and it lasts for 4 weeks. Go to worldmmaawards.com. We would appreciate your vote. I've always said, even if you don't think it's us, just vote. I think the more votes, the more democratic, the better. Because whoever the winner is, you just want to shake their hand and go, you guys did a great job. More people voted for you, so good for you. But what I don't want is for you to go, man, I would have voted for Junkie if you'd only told me. So that's me telling you, go vote. WorldMMAAwards.com. Two of the members of the Junkie family, well, I should say MMA Junkie as a whole, the website, and John Morgan for our best media source. I'm disappointed Mike Bond didn't come back. I think he's definitely should be there every year as well. A lot of our staff is pretty awesome, actually. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. So enjoy the fight cards this weekend. And thank you to Graham Boylan for his time, the president of Cage Warriors. We had him on early. And don't forget, you can catch all of the interviews that we do on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo, along with video franchises like Legend to Legend and Spinning Backlick. All right, folks, we're going to bounce on out of here. Oh, one last thing. On August 7th, we'll be hosting our UFC 265 watch along. So start marking that down. Put it in your cozy app. Put it on your calendar, whatever it takes, because it's going to be lit. It's going to be fun. It's got two title fights, and every UFC card pretty much delivers at this point. So mark it down. All right, folks, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.